what's up? Welcome back to another episode of 200 and Counting. I'm your host, Tia Hill, and this episode is going to be about a documentary. You already know what it is. I think that this needs no introduction. Everyone I know has seen this. This is all over social media, all over Twitter. Everyone's been talking about it. The documentary is called The Tiger King.
It's not every day that a zookeeper went to prison for murder for hire.
And based on what people were saying about it, I had no idea what this doc was going to be about, okay? Like, you just can't. It's like a man who collects big cats. Like, okay. First off, this is a 7-part documentary series. And it did not need to be 7 parts. I'm going to tell you right now, it didn't. I clicked in that shit. I watched episode 1. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I could do 3 or 4 more episodes. 7 episodes? I was like, I almost felt bad recommending it to people because I was like, I'm not telling them how long it is and you're going to get invested. The next thing you know, you're like 7 hours in. You're like, damn, okay. But it is a 7-part documentary series all about a man named Joe Exotic.
He was like a mythical character living out in the middle of bumfuck Oklahoma who owned 1,200 tigers and lions and bears and shit.
You're gonna love me.
To be honest, they don't even really talk about the animals that much, but they focus mainly on the tigers and the fact that this man just like has them and he just loves big cats.
Hey, I'm Joe Exotic. Otherwise known as the Tiger King, the gay gun cane redneck with a mullet. I have over 180 big cats, 500 other exotic animals in my care.
He has 2 husbands. So they just throw a little, you know, just a little polygamy in there as a treat. He's got 2 husbands. He's living in Oklahoma. He has the GW Zoo. He has people working on it. And from the jump, they tell you that he is a character. All right. He's like, I love big cats. He loves guns, big cats. Like, he has this whole zoo. People come there. And he's kind of famous, too. He has like this huge online following.
That's a tiger. Now I understand. I saw a tiger. And the tiger saw me.
Just the beginning of the documentary, just the intro, was so damn long. I was like, can we get to the point? Like, what is this? Every single character is so rich in personality that you can't stop watching once you start. But each episode is supposed to be a different aspect of the world of big cat collectors, which is a little bit strange. I didn't really know that that was a thing, but they're like, yeah, there's thousands, tens of thousands of big cats in captivity in the United States that people are just keeping in their backyard, which was totally news to me because I thought they were all in zoos, but apparently there's more big cats in people's yards in the US than there are in the wild, which is f***ed up. So Joe Exotic's whole thing that they tell you in the beginning is that he had a feud with this woman named Carol Baskin.
All she's doing is trying to get her propaganda of baby tigers being born in America for an excuse of growing up and having bone deficiencies and bad teeth. If you fall for that, ladies and gentlemen, you're worse than a bunch of nuts in a squirrel tree.
He spends a majority of his time slandering this woman online. Like, when I tell you, he made like little dolls, he'd be making comments like, I don't even know. He's like blowing this doll's head off, like in videos on YouTube that he's posting online.
Well, anyway, you're gonna have to excuse the ring lights there. I am going blind looking at Carol's ugly ass. Okay.
And they interview like his producer who was hired to follow him around. And he's like, well, Joe makes good TV, you know? What can I say? I've been a producer for this many years. And this guy's crazy. And you're like, okay. But this man was doing wild stuff. And at first, it's like, okay, maybe that is kind of funny. I don't know. I found it disturbing. I found it very disturbing. But it escalates so, so much to the point where he was trying to like feud with her and steal her. There was like copyright infringement on the table, all sorts of things. Carol Baskin runs what's called the Big Cat Rescue. So her whole thing is that she rescues tigers that have been kept in people's backyards to keep them in her backyard and also sells tickets for people to come see them. But I don't really know what the difference is, to be honest, but they spend so long talking about Joe Exotic saying animal rights groups hate me. Carol Baskin hates me. And she's like, I hate him and I don't like what he's doing at all. This woman loves cats, which at first, honestly, I identified with that. I also love cats. Do I collect big cats in my New York City apartment? Absolutely the f- not. But, you know, this woman loves cats. And at first I was like, okay, she's just a quirky woman. By the time you get to episode 4, it's like she may or may not have killed her husband and fed her to lions. And it's like, what in the world? What? Part of the problem, though, that I did have with the documentary was that the title is The Tiger King, right? And so the way they're selling it is just about this man, Joe Exotic. Literally by like episode 2, they're on some side tangent about some other guy that collects big cats named Doc Antle. And he like has these young women that he's always like, these girls come straight out of high school to work for me when they're, you know, just 18. And they work with me for, you know, 10 or 20 years. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it's heavily implied that this man has some kind of tiger cult, which is all well and good. That is also disturbing. And it seems like he's doing some messed up stuff too. And I don't know what that story is. I was like, this must connect back to Joe somehow. It didn't really. I guess the point was to provide context to the other people that collect big cats. But all it did was by episode 3 or 4, I was like, so what was the thing Joe was supposed to have done again? Like, what was that about? It kind of felt like in 7 episodes, that was cool. It did not need to be 7. It could have been a cool, like, 3 or 4 episodes for real. Like, it did not need to be as long as it was. But the thing is, it gets kind of confusing and it takes away from the title, which is The Tiger King. If they build it as like, we're going to teach you about the world of people who keep tigers captive in their yard, then sure, let me watch a whole episode just on this man who lures young girls to work on his farm. Do thing. Sure. But because they didn't bill it as that, I was like, what? Are we going to see Joe? Are we going to see some more Joe? You know, for the first 3 or 4 episodes, I think probably the first 4, maybe 5 episodes, it was relatively light in that the point of the doc was like, okay, these people like might be a little bit strange and quirky, but like, this is funny and this is pretty entertaining. Like, this is so wild. They have so many cats. They're on their zoo, like, you know, shooting things. It's crazy. To me, honestly, in the age of Corona, the wildest part of the documentary was when people were going to visit the zoo, letting their babies rub their face on these little baby tigers. Like, I saw a child rolling around on the ground with a baby tiger. I was like, oh no, I don't think so. That's nasty. That's nasty. So it's kind of light for the first few episodes. And then they get to a point where they're making it more and more clear that Joe is starting this online smear campaign against Carol.
Tonight, we're going to dig into a little bit more of Carol Baskin's diary, okay? To see if we can understand exactly what kind of demented person she is, okay? And when exactly she might have been drove to the possibilities of murder.
It's bizarre that he had everything recorded. He's one of those people, like, you know, they always talk about, like, Nixon kept tapes of every conversation he ever had. It's always, like, the people who are just like drunk with power who are like, also, let me just record every single thing that I'm doing. Like, I don't want to get caught, but I just want a recording so I could what? I don't even know, like, jerk off listening to myself just have power. I don't know what the point is, really. I'm sorry, that was crude. But why? You know, why? Now, granted, we spend a whole episode hearing all of the evidence against Carol for why people think she murdered her husband, which was like, we hear her childhood, we hear her backstory, we hear, you know, he disappeared one day and then she took all his money and then blocked his first wife and his daughters from getting any of the money, and like, did she kill him? Joe has this thing in his mind because Carol has tried for years and years and years to get his zoo shut down and has tried to do all of this stuff to get back at him. He's making videos. He's constantly like sending threats to her house. She said she's getting death threats. People are calling her. People are stalking her. He is obsessed with Carol Baskin and finding this woman and getting revenge on her. It's like, what is revenge, really? In every episode, the one constant is that Joe Exotic hates Carol Baskin. He will do anything to get back at this woman, no matter what. I will give this documentary props for the fact that they managed to get footage of literally every single thing that happened throughout the story. Every single thing. One weird thing, though, was that there's a man interviewing Joe Exotic. Maybe I don't know all of the personalities in the animal interviewing world, but there's a man who occasionally, at least once or twice in the episode, is shown on camera interviewing these people, but he's never introduced. So the whole time I was like, who is this man? Is this man working with the documentary crew? Like, was he there when Joe, is he part of what Joe wanted for Joe Exotic TV? Like, who is this person that's interviewing them the whole time? It was never established. And I think that for me, kind of knocked it down a few pegs because there were so many questions after that. I just could not get over this. Sometimes he'd pop in and be like, so we're trying to reach Joe Exotic right now. I'm like, who are you? Who is we? Who is we? Who's breaking the fourth wall here? And I couldn't figure out like what the timeline was with this whole story. At times it felt like they just put together random footage and then they got lucky enough to string it into a story, which is probably why they had to do 7 episodes. There were definitely a lot of things that could have been cut out. There were definitely a lot of times when I was like, what is this? We don't need this. In the later episodes, Joe meets this man named Jeff. And Jeff is this super rich, like, rocking guy. He's, like, going to Las Vegas. He's, you know, living large, doing all this stuff. And somehow he convinces Joe to sign over the zoo to him. And he's like, yeah, like, we will beat Carol Baskin. He on the phone cussing this woman out when they're talking to the family, trying to do litigation. He's like, well, guess what? It's a free country. Tell that bitch wife the blah. I was like, oh. Ooh, okay, Jeff. Joe starts getting in cahoots with Jeff and he's like learning a lot of things from him. All of the zoo workers were like, we did not like having Jeff around. It was different, blah, 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 blah. Jeff is interviewed. He's like, hey, listen, charge it to the game, okay? Get it how you live. Listen, I'm doing what I need to be doing. I'm getting my money. He shouldn't have let me on to this zoo if he didn't want me to change things a little bit. All right. There was also a little bit of polyamory there, too, you know, just a little bit as a treat. But then things really escalate with the two of them. And that is also not explained. It really felt like there's 7 episodes of this documentary. And the first 5 episodes, they throw in the craziest footage they could find just to get people to be like, what? That's crazy. What? That's crazy. To distract from the fact that there's supposed to be a story here. And in the last 2 episodes, they're like, oh, by the way, like all this stuff happened. And they cram in all the important like legal and crime stuff into the very, very end. Jeff and Joe got in some kind of disagreement. And so Joe was like, listen, I want my damn zoo back. And Jeff was like, well, you know, that's too late now, isn't it?
You're fucked, Joe. You've been fucking me. And you know what started it? Is when you go in and you talk to those people and you tell them that Jeff and Lauren are bankrupting this park. When you're fucking filtering all your goddamn living expenses.
And then they reveal that Joe had been going to his parents asking for money and now that he'd been bleeding his parents dry, but his parents blamed it on Carol Baskin because Joe ended up going to court with Carol for like copyright infringement and all of these threats that he was making on her name. He was like photoshopping her face onto images of like men in adult diapers, like just doing outlandish stuff. And it was really, really escalating. Somehow Jeff got into trouble doing something completely unrelated. And then it totally turned around as like, okay, well now Jeff's gonna snitch on Joe. And next thing you know, everybody informed on him. And you know, they basically set him up with a hitman to try to kill Carol Baskin, and then they got him locked up.
Joseph Maldonado Passage, better known as Oklahoma's Tiger Guy, Joe Exotic, indicted by a federal grand jury Wednesday on 2 counts of hiring someone to commit murder.
And I was like, that's it? That part happened so quickly that was so, it was maybe 25% of the whole documentary. When in the beginning, it's teased as like, this is the craziest story you ever heard. You didn't hear the crazy story till episode like 7 or the second half of episode 6. There are so many other little things that you learn about all of the people in this story, which are very cool and they are interesting. But then by the time the actual legal stuff happened and by the time it got to the point where he's talking about how he tried to kill this woman, you don't even really care because it's not as like overstimulating as the first part of the documentary was. Part of me feels like they put that in there because maybe the story wasn't as interesting. If you just tell the story is a straight up like, okay, this man was at war with this woman and they both had big cats and then he tried to kill her. That was it. That is a crazy story, don't get me wrong. But in this age where we hear all of these different crime stories, you kind of get desensitized to it and you're kind of like, well, that's not interesting. If there was no cult or, you know, supernatural thing, you know, it's no, don't fuck with cats or whatever. You know, people really want something. So I feel like they tried to add as much as possible to get people really, really hype. Because the ending was really, really mid, like really, really mid, to the point where I was like, okay, I just watched 7 episodes of this for what? It got to the point where you're just hearing what this man was doing every day. They may as well have been like, and then, you know, one Tuesday, Joe, he had eggs for breakfast. Let's bring out the tigers and see what they thought. Like, it had nothing to do with the fact that he tried to kill this woman. Another thing that I didn't really like was you don't even hear that much about the animals till the end. Like, sure, yes, you hear about tigers. You hear about how many are in captivity. But I did not know the man had monkeys in his zoo until the very, very end of the documentary. I was like, there were monkeys here? And he's like, yeah, you know, I had to give them up to the whatever sanctuary. I'm like, when did this happen? And as one of the workers points out, she's like, this was supposed to be about the animals. No one cares about the animals anymore. I was like, the documentary filmmakers don't care about the damn animals because nobody's talking about him. Everyone's talking about Joe Exotic. And yes, it was about him, but at the very end, they tried to spin it like, and that's why we should take care of these poor creatures. When it's like, you all did not mention any kind of big cat at all. The minute you got that bit of like, ooh, there's some murder, it was forget the animals. I think had they left it out, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. But because they tried to like, you know, push a little bit of animal action at the very end, I was like, okay, there's no reason for this to really even be here. There's really nobody to root for in this whole documentary. And so the discourse on social media has been like totally disjointed about the whole thing. For some reason, people were out here like rooting for Joe Exotic, which like I said, I'm not about to bash this man online because we see what he has done to his enemies. But I think it's interesting that people always want to grasp for like a good guy and like a bad guy in this. And really, it was just like everyone was the bad guy. So I don't really know why people were pushing for that so much. There was a clip that went viral on Twitter that was Joe Exotic going on some rant about like why he should be able to say the N-word.
I can't say the N-word, but you can get on YouTube and watch
any black man's rap video and they're calling each other the N-word. What the hell? Is this discrimination? I'm white. I can't say the N-word and they can't.
I don't mean to stereotype people, but watching this documentary, I was truly waiting for the moment that they said something like, oh, by the way, we hate black people. Like, I was surprised it never came up. So I was not surprised by this. I think it's funny how people were so desperate to grasp for something. There are people who are like, Carol killed her husband. Carol killed her husband. No, she didn't kill her husband. There are people who are like, free Joe Exotic. I don't really understand that. I don't know, you know? But that also to me is a sign that like the documentary had no clear narrative. It seemed very much like the goal was to convince people that this woman killed her husband, but that was just not clear. That was just like a side effect of the whole thing. So it just felt like all over the place and there was really no purpose to why I was watching it, who I should be rooting for. Even if it was one of those things where you don't have to have someone to root for, it didn't do an amazing job of painting a picture of these people. It was just like, okay, this is just kind of weird. There are so many elements to this documentary that it's like, is it even worth bringing up his presidential bid? Obviously, no, he had no chance and he did not even almost win. He also ran for governor of Oklahoma. He didn't win that either. The ending, I don't want to get too into like all the details of the ending because I want to leave like a little bit of mystery. If you haven't watched it, I want to know whether or not you agree that it was honestly mediocre. As much as they were gassing this and as much as people were talking about it, it was crazy because of the characters. It was crazy because, yes, the story is wild because all of those people are kind of odd and they have an interesting occupation. But other than that, I was like, this ending isn't really that. Now he's sitting in jail. He's sitting in prison. You know, Carol and her husband, they are chilling. You know, they were like celebrating with champagne, da 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 da. You know, I've really been going back and forth, but I think overall I'd give this 3.5 stars. There were just too many things that didn't make sense and that weren't cohesive, and it felt more like trying to use a bunch of random footage to shock people to take away from the story that was supposed to be there than it did like a cohesive documentary series. A lot of times when you have docuseries, they don't need to be series. There's so many documentaries that could be one feature-length doc that end up getting dragged out, and when you drag things out like that, you have so much unnecessary stuff in the stories that could be interesting but don't necessarily need to be there as an episode. It'd be really interesting if people stopped doing super long docuseries and they started using the extra footage as like extras if you watched it and you want to see like a little bit more around the story. That would be really interesting to me, rather than veering the story off into a different direction to then come back and be like, okay, well, actually, we're talking about this. And it's like, well, are we? Because we weren't talking about it before. To me, Tiger King does that. It didn't need to be 7 episodes. It could have been 3 or 4 episodes. Whoever was narrating or doing the interviewing, I don't know what that situation was, but that was also a little bit weird. So yeah, 3.5 stars, because I will say it did hook me in the beginning. In the beginning, I was like, this is so crazy. But by the middle, I was like, this is so crazy that this is going on for so long. And I don't think that I can finish it. And I did finish it. And I would recommend it to people if you want to be a part of the conversation that's going on around it right now. And if you want something crazy to watch, and listen, we all inside on quarantine, okay? We need something to watch. I would not recommend it if you want like a good documentary series that's like, wow, this is a great story. It's a crazy story, but I wouldn't say that it's the best story. So 3.5 stars for Tiger King. Let me know what you thought about it and whether or not you like the documentary. If you didn't like the documentary, why? What would you rate it out of 5 stars? Because I stand by my 3.5. The more I say it, the more I'm like, yeah, 3.5. But either way, it was a really, really crazy story and it was a wild ride, and I'm not watching it again, but I will definitely tell anybody who asks me to watch it. All right, thanks so much for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.